hearing. That's what it is. This is the Conference Committee on House Bill 2070. And I'm sorry, I'm not working on all my cylinders right now, so I'd like to have, this bill originally had come from the House to take care of a small problem out in Harper, Oregon. But what I would like to do is I would like to invite some folks to come forward. The central part of what's happened to this bill is now involving the Portland School District. So I'd like to have invite Jeff Gilmore and Julie Brim Edwards and Justin Martin. And those are the folks that have been spending the most time on this to make it work. If you folks would like to come forward and...
Justin Martin's not here.
Okay. Wait a minute. He's been...
He's still looking for you.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Not... Do you want us to find him?
I'd just like to have you folks have an opportunity to go ahead and present your case. My bill is... My Harper School bill has taken on several different forms, and I was expecting Senator Walker here. She has an amendment she wanted to. But go ahead, please, Julia, for the record.
Go ahead. I'm Julia Brim Edwards. I am a Portland Public School parent and former member of the Portland School Board, former chair. I appreciate the committee's consideration of this provision. During the time period I was on the school board, we have made tens of millions in cuts. We've closed 8 schools. We've capped health care, cut salaries. We have contracted out 300 custodial jobs, made a number of very significant cuts. We've increased class sizes. This provision would continue something that's currently in law for another 2 years and would have a very significant impact on the 48,000 students in Portland Public Schools without increasing taxes for property taxes for Portland homeowners.
Okay, Julia, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
This whole issue goes back to Measure 50, as I understand it, and this is an exception to Measure 50, and I need some background, some history, and what it is specifically that this is all about, if I could.
I think I'm going to let Mr. Martin answer that question.
All right. Good evening, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Justin Martin. I'm here tonight on behalf of Portland Public Schools. I apologize for being late to the hearing. As the committee may or may not know, Portland Public Schools is facing some very difficult times. We currently are looking at a loss of the local option, 2, the county income tax, and 3, the desegregation dollars for a combined loss of approximately $80 million over the next biennium. So, in the difference between Measure 50 and Measure 5, that is where we get the gap, and we have in front of us a window of opportunity to help the students of Portland Public Schools to get through those tough times, essentially to November of 06, in which we can get back out in front of the voters. The key portion of this issue is that this will not divert one single dime from the state school fund. What we said before the beginning of the 2005 session was we will not do two things. One, we will not do anything that takes away from that state school fund. And two, we will not come back for the desegregation dollars that I mentioned earlier as part of that. We have held firm to that. We believe that this is a good measure that helps 48,000 students and also helps our new superintendent at a time when we are facing, again, very difficult changes, and we need to give her the tools to manage the downsizing. That's a very difficult job. You guys have seen we've closed schools. We have laid off 350 FTE. And now it's time to give her some tools and to give the largest school district in the state the opportunity to get back to where they need to be, again, on behalf of 48,000 students. Thank you.
Thank you, Justin. I appreciate that current presentation of where we're at. I'd like to have Steve Meyer come forward, if you would, please, Steve, on behalf of legislative revenue. And I need Steve. I don't have one of these out in Eastern Oregon, so I'm just trying to get my arms around it.
Mr. Chair, for the record, Steve Meyer, Legislative Revenue. Would you clarify what?
Well, this
background.
My understanding is Genesis says this was an exception under Measure 50, which has remained alive to this date, and that we're extending it. Is that?
Yes, Mr. Chair. This did start with Measure 50 in terms of having a gap bond for Portland School District. And normally, if I remember correctly, that gap bond would become part of their operating revenue when it was fully paid off. That's what would make the rate the $5.27.
Now, is it fully paid off now?
Yes, it is. Last session, Portland School District came to the legislature and asked that their rate only be the $4.77 without the gap bond rate rolled into it. And that was to start then in 05-06. Okay, because they felt like, one, they didn't want one of the highest school rates in the state at $5.27. And so they felt that that rate was not needed also because they were going to go for a local option election.
And did they do the local option then?
They did not.
That'd be a serial bond of some kind, serial levy?
Could have been a dollar serial levy, either okay. One.
And can you help me with that? Why didn't that happen?
Someone from the district could probably be better to answer that.
So we didn't go out for a local option because at the same time there was on the ballot a repeal of the Multnomah County income tax, and you couldn't have the repeal on the ballot the same time that you had a local option. So their local option wasn't gone out for. So that's why even if this were continued, property tax rates for homeowners will decrease because the local option is going away.
So now didn't the legislature give some authority to allow that to continue in our last legislative assembly?
Mr. Chair, yes. The legislature did allow Portland, if I remember correctly, intended to pay off the bond at least 1 year early.
Okay.
And the legislature last session gave them the authority to go ahead and continue at the $5.27 rate and not count that as local revenue toward the school equalization formula. Okay. And so then starting in 05-06, they requested that their rate be the $4.77 last session. Okay. And that's what it will be unless you take action.
And the action that we would take then would bring it back up to the
527,
and that would be done without a local vote. Is that correct?
There's no local vote in the bill, correct?
Okay, so it basically continues the debt service. It continues the collection just as if the debt service was being paid on the original gap bonds.
Correct.
Okay, and I'm struggling again as to why they didn't, Julia. I'm having trouble connecting the dots as to why we didn't move forward with the request locally. Why it's a legislative responsibility.
We had At the same time, we have limited opportunities to put a local option on the ballot because of the double majority. And the election that we would have put the local option on was the same election that the repeal of the local income tax was on the ballot.
So people could repeal the income tax.
Which was defeated, but you couldn't have both on at the, I mean, the feeling was you couldn't have both on, this, on at the same time.
Oh, I see. So it was just an optional election by, wasn't enough room on the sheet. It was...
No, it was felt that at the same time you're asking people to vote on the repeal to also have at the same time to have a vote on a local property tax increase would have been confusing to voters.
But I thought that's why we'd acted last Legislative Assembly to extend that authorization.
Well, at the time, The repeal that went on the ballot was not something that was anticipated. There was signatures collected. We have a very fairly low threshold in Multnomah County for referrals of measures, and they collected signatures and put it on the November ballot, so it was an unanticipated event. We also had, as Justin mentioned, a bond measure that we were going to put on the ballot at the same time, and also for...
did the bond measure go on, Julie?
It did not. So we essentially are entering this next school year with no money for any capital expenses. And in fact, we had to set aside some of our operating revenue this coming school year to pay for just things that we would have normally covered under a bond. So we have, we call it sort of the perfect storm, where we've the repeal is not the repeal. Excuse me, the Multnomah County income tax is going to be expiring. The local option expired. We have no bond. The desegregation money, the agreement we had with the legislature was that that would end, which was about over 100 teachers in our low-income schools. So we had all these things sort of coming to head at the same time, the expiration of the gap bond. For a variety of factors, some of them which we couldn't anticipate, we are looking at the loss of almost a fourth of our budget, about $80 to $90 million out of a $400 million budget.
And that 89 is the local revenue, including that which would have come through the gap bonds had you extended them. Is that my understanding as well?
Or it's the... Do you want to answer?
Can you repeat the question, Mr. Chair?
So this $89 million worth of shortfall includes the gap bonds, this $15 million a year?
Mr. Chair, that shortfall includes the loss of the local option, the expiring county income tax, as well as the desegregation dollars, which was amounted to about $15 million per biennium. That did come from the state school fund. Again, the two principles that we wanted to bring to this legislative session were, we would not come and ask for anything that affected any other district, and two, we would not ask for those desegregation dollars because those did come out of the state school fund. And third, Mr. Chair, I'd like to point out that this is also something that we need in terms of an overall strategy to become less dependent on the county income tax that is expiring, and we need to look at ways in which we can get to 06, get a new plan of attack, and be able to move on from there and not be so dependent.
Justin, can you share that new plan with me? Give the committee some flavor of what that new plan. I mean, it sounds like the legislature acted last session to I'm docking my hunting dog tail just an inch at a time, so it won't hurt to cut it all off at one time. I need help with what the plan looks like. We took action as a legislature to assist for a time, and it appears that a decision was made not to extend the opportunity to vote for the 527. because of another vote that was on there. And so now we're asked to go another inch at this particular time. Can you share with the committee kind of what the long-term plan is so that we don't have to come back in two more years and do this again?
Well, I, Mr. Chair, I think two things. One, making the difficult decisions that need to be made and probably should have been made over the course of the last, I don't know how many years. That, and we've started doing that. That's the closure of five schools. That's the laying off of 350 employees. Two, we have to find some long-term feasible ability to generate some revenue. And in the face of what may or may not be perceived as adequate funding, we have to look at other alternatives in the short term. And with the expiration of the county income tax, the local option, and the desegregation dollars, this is a way, short term, for us to get to that point, that 06 point in a general election when we can go back out to the voters of Portland.
Okay, and that's the plan that you...
I think it's important to note that while during the time I served on the board, all of our labor agreements that we had with our employees, whether they're classified, the teachers, district council of unions, the trades, that in every single one of those agreements, we either were able to achieve significant savings in health care costs, in also in salary and a number of other ways that we've brought cost containment into our labor agreements. That was one strategy. Certainly in our operations, we've made very significant cuts in whether it's mostly the business, on the business side, whether it's facilities, HR, that no employee group, no place in the district has been immune to the cuts. So we've been fairly aggressive in trying to, on the cost side, contain things. We've also raised class sizes significantly. So it's not as apparent because I don't think it's a good thing to have done, but we didn't have very many choices. So we tried to attack things from both the cost side, but also on the revenue side. And as Justin said, next time we have an opportunity to go out for a local option in which there's not a, when we make the double majority requirement, which would probably be a November election, I think, and I can't speak for the board because I'm not on it now, but certainly that they would, that'd be something they would look at very seriously.
So that'd be November of 06 to go out for a double.
Yes. One of the things that occurred that was also unanticipated was that because of the double majority and the presidential election, there was a lot of new voters registered in Multnomah County, a very significant number of new registered voters, which is a great thing for people to be registering to vote. But one of the consequences of that was that all those new voters raised the bars very significantly for being able to make the 50% turnout in a May election.
I just had one other question of Steve. Steve, is it fair to say that with these additional tax revenues and resources that are going into this into the school system in Portland, that this appears to be a much more expensive per student school system than the rest of the state?
And I'm not sure how to answer that. It's additional revenue above formula revenue, yes.
Does any other school have the magnitude of this revenue, of this quantity of revenue that we're talking about? Any other schools in the state have this access to this kind of money?
Yes.
Okay.
At least generally two other school districts. Not to the same source of money, but having money above what the formula would allocate to them. Because they're property taxes are more than what the formula would allocate to them. So they have no state dollars at all.
And so they use that for their local schools. Is there anyone here from the school board, from the, Judy, you were a former member of the school board. Justin, are you?
I'm only 25 days off.
Okay. Is there anyone here from the school board, from the Portland School Board?
No.
Okay. Senator Walker, I had a note. I think the note that I had relative to an amendment that you wanted was probably on 2070 before this committee. Is that right? I had a note here that said we should have talked to Vicki Walker.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, thank you. Vicki Walker, State Senator, District 7. I really appreciate the call. My amendment was the Golden Parachute Bill, and it was an amendment that we had done much earlier. And when Senator Carter asked to use this bill for the gap on measure, my amendment went away, and Senator Carter and I had a discussion that I said, well, you have to make sure and preserve Representative Butler's part of the bill, and she was very clear about doing that. So I just wanted to thank you for letting me borrow your bill. We've had it for a long while, and this amendment is a really good amendment to help Portland Public Schools, and so I hope that you're able to pass it, and I'll work on my issue next session.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
colleagues. I've been called back. I apologize for having been called away. And so, what I'd like to do is there anyone else here that is a member of the school board or an immediate former member of the school board? Well, somebody running for the school board that's got a plan.
Mr. Chair, could I ask a couple of quick questions of Ms. Brim-Edwards? I don't know what your timing is, but...
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Julie, what's the total budget for Portland Public Schools, roughly? I understand.
Yeah, about 390.
Mr. Chair, follow-up?
Follow-up.
Number of school children?
Approximately 48,000, including three of mine.
And one of mine. How many languages spoken in the district, and what is the percentage of special needs kids served, roughly? Again, we're not holding you to exact
numbers.
I'll
just give you an example. In my daughter's school, which is a middle school of about 400 students, there's more than 28 languages spoken. I think in the district it's over 80. And did I have that wrong, Senator Carter? It's more than that, I think.
It is.
But just in one middle school, there's 28 languages.
And, Mr. Chair?
Follow up, please.
Percentage of special needs kids? I mean, I don't have a clue. My stepson is special needs, but I just don't have a sense of what it is in terms of the general population.
It's fairly high, but one thing that's unique to Portland about the special needs kids, because we have major medical facilities in the Portland area, we have more children that we serve who have much higher needs than elsewhere in the state. So if you're in Portland, up at Dornbecker or at Emmanuel being served as a child, you're a student of Portland Public Schools, even though you may live in other parts of the state. So we have higher costs special needs students as well, just because we're the metropolitan area with major medical facilities.
Okay, Mr. Chair, one last question. My understanding is that this bill does not increase property taxes in Portland. Is that correct?
No. In fact, most homeowners will see a decrease because of the expiring local option property tax.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very
appreciate
much.
Appreciate your willingness to hold this hearing on
thank
this important
you, thank
issue.
You very kindly. With that, colleagues, we're going to go ahead and close this public hearing. Thank you very much.